Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas used the exact phrase, quote, the marketplace of ideas, in a Supreme Court decision in 1953. The idea is that the solution to bad ideas is not to suppress them, but to let all ideas be heard and discussed, and the truth will eventually emerge. This is an important concept that goes back much further than 1953. Thomas Jefferson used similar language at the time of the Founding Fathers, and in fact, this idea is part of the reason that we have the First Amendment to our Constitution, based on the belief that if anyone can speak freely, and if the press can operate freely, then eventually the truth will become clear. Neither Jefferson, nor more recently Douglas, could have foreseen the internet and the flood of ideas and information that's available to anyone with the click of a mouse. A person can find pretty much any idea that anyone has ever thought of floating around on the internet, and this creates a challenge for those of us living in the information age. Recently, several folks were getting ready to have a lunch of homemade soup that had been kept in the refrigerator. The host said, "Sit down, I'll just warm up the soup in the microwave." One of the guests said, "Don't put mine in there, I'll heat it in a pot." The host asked why, and the guest said that putting food in a microwave destroys enzymes and reduces the nutritional value of the food. The host said, "Really? Who told you that?" And the guest said, as we hear so often these days, "I read it on the internet." The host said, "Yeah, but who said it?" And the guest said, "Gee, I'm not sure." Whether the question is the nutritional value of food in the microwave, or whether there really is such a thing as man-made climate change, or whether the best way to preserve food from the garden is to freeze it or can it, or something else, we can find arguments pro or con on the web for almost any topic. Finding opinions is easy, but deciding which of the competing opinions in the digital marketplace of ideas approaches most closely to the truth is another matter entirely. In the case of damage to nutrition of food placed in a microwave, it turns out that a search on the web will produce pages and pages of results. And, as we've pointed out in previous programs, those results won't be the same for you and someone else you may know, particularly if you happen to be logged into Gmail or other Google programs if you're using Google, or if you haven't turned off cookies and flushed the ones that were on your computer or tablet or smartphone. The major search providers such as Google and Bing, as well as Facebook and some other social network sites, are keen these days on what they call, quote, personalizing the web for each person. What that means is that the search results you receive, if they know who you are, will be tailored to fit with your existing mindset. If, for example, you're prone to go to MSNBC or the Huffington Post for your news, sites that share their philosophy are going to show up toward the top of your results list. Same if you usually consult Fox News or the Washington Times. You'll get a very different set of results. In the case of the microwave example, if you're someone who regularly consults alternative health sites, then any results from federal government health sites or the Harvard Medical School or the Mayo Clinic will probably be low down on your list, while results from sites like Dr. Mercola or Andrew Weil, MD, will be near the top. If you doubt if any of this is true, try it with a friend, preferably one who has somewhat different opinions from you. Put the exact same search terms in Google or check the news feed on your Facebook page and see what happens. So, the first problem in the digital marketplace of ideas is that there is no single marketplace of ideas anymore. Whether it's cable television stations that cater to a particular way of seeing the world, or search engines that are, quote, personalizing search on the internet for us, we run the risk of getting our existing opinions reinforced rather than experiencing the rough and tumble of competing ideas. It may be a good idea not just to look at the first page of search results, but to scroll down a good bit, and then to think carefully about how to judge what we find. In the case of the microwave example, a searcher will find results ranging from examples of research done in Russia in the 1950s to explanations of the science of how microwaves work and how enzymes unfold when heated, whether by microwaves or a gas flame under a pot, at sites such as the Argo National Labs. How do we judge what to believe? Well, we might begin by asking who's speaking. What reasons are there to believe that that person or organization knows what they're talking about? What evidence do they present? Do they cite the sources of their evidence so we can go look at them ourselves if we want to? Are they selling anything? If so, is it likely that that fact is influencing what they have to say? Who's advertising on their website? Do we think that attracting advertisements is influencing what they have to say? How do their opinions or evidence compare with the information provided on other sites? In the marketplace of ideas today, finding the truth is no easier than it was in Jefferson's day, and may even be more difficult, since we have access to so many opinions and so much information. But as we seek information, it's important to remember that we're only seeing a tiny fraction of what's available, and in many cases, it's filtered before it ever gets to us. The moral of the story is to look a little deeper if we want to get closer to the truth, and to not only find information on the web, but to evaluate it before taking action. And we'll keep doing our best to do that right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.